Techies back. It's time for another Techie Talk with State Representative Techie Chan of Quincy. Techie, we've missed you.
Yeah, no, I missed you too, Joe. Unfortunately, I got laid down by some kind of variation of flu. As they say, most flus come with a fever. Not all flus come with fever. And, you know, colds do get fevers, as we discovered from COVID. COVID is a cold virus. But I know it's laid me down, and I had to work through a Patriots Day week trying to deal budget amendment reviews, followed by the actual budget itself. And most people know I like to do some of this work in person is my preference. But thankfully, when you're trying to cough up a lung, so to speak, working on a virtual format is beneficial, not just for myself, but also not my colleagues running away from me.
Well, glad it's not COVID. Glad you're feeling a little better, and hopefully your recovery continues.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been unusually long. And of course, we're now in allergy season as well. So I'm a spring allergy person. So you have a bit of a chest cold plus allergies hitting simultaneously. It can cause your body a little confusion.
Yeah. So, well, I know there was a COVID scare at the State House. I think at the Senate, they were advised to wear masks not too long ago because of potential exposure. So it's certainly still with us.
We have received a notice every week or every 2 weeks now, averaging between two and four folks, sometimes, you know, five maybe, but generally it's three-ish, a notification of people in the building with COVID. Contact tracing actually is active. For people who don't realize, I'm running a staff of five. I run 50% staff as opposed to 100% staff in office, because if you get COVID, there's the spread rate plus quarantine, and bring it back to friends and family at home if you have roommates or you're living with family. So I'm still operating on this 50% schedule, half virtual, half in person, and I still allow people who want to have a meeting decide what the comfort level is regarding what kind of meeting they have, whether like here now or some social distancing format, whether it be in a big room or outdoors. So, you know, I'm still trying to accommodate folks the best I can, but not surprising, 95%-ish plus people still prefer seeing me in this format at the moment.
Yeah, it's so interesting what's going on with the pandemic right now. There seems to be a disparity between what the wastewater is showing with decreasing levels, but case levels and positivity rate are increasing. So maybe it's the spring vacation, April school vacation week that we just had, possibly.
It's probably the school vacation week. I know there was a lot of travel, as you all know, to states that have a slightly higher infection rate than we do, and not as good vaccination rate as we do. But also, I mean, there's also the testing itself. And people that go in and get the PCR test with a hospital automatically has that data reported to the, you know, to the DPH and boards of health, which is where it comes from. The data is always about 2 days behind-ish, depending on, you know, when the test results are reported in. They generally have to be in within 1 day or 2 days. Generally, they like to have it in with 1 day for obvious reasons. And remind folks, the wastewater only represents maybe 30% of the population of the state. It's, you know, the greater Boston area plus, you know, Metro West communities that's along the MWA route. So it doesn't necessarily as a good representation of host states. So for example, the South Coast, the Merrimack Valley, Springfield region, the Berkshires, you know, are not representative of the wastewater supply. So it's a good indicator because, you know, it's about a million plus people, but we're a 7 million person state.
Yeah. Yeah. Us here in the Metro Boston area, I always forget that. Oh yeah, there's another whole part of Massachusetts. That's true.
Yeah, there's the rest of the state, folks, beyond just a little world. So yeah, there will be discrepancy. But again, the wastewater testing is designed as an early warning device to give us an idea that the most dense communities are seeing a rise. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's up. I think I've already had two close contact calls in the last 4 weeks. I've been obviously ill, as you hear, and I've been doing my regular testing at home, even with this illness. That's how I know it's not COVID, because after seven tests, I do know that these tests are not perfect, but seven's a lot of tests, folks. I mean, that's a big sample size.
Yeah, they're not that inaccurate. No way.
No, they're not that inaccurate. I know there's a margin of error. Right. But, you know, also remind folks, the federal government still has free test kits available out there. And I do also remind folks to please look at your test kits regarding expiration dates. You may have the iHeart orange case. it's in weird print on one side of it, on the back. I don't know how you describe it, front or back, but on the back side of it, there is a marking on expiration. The blue test kits you find at CVS as well has expiration dates. So please be very mindful of expiration date. The chemical inside the test kits, you know, do expire. I do encourage people get the free test kits from the feds. You can get reimbursement for these test kits. CVS and other pharmacies can try to help you out on how to get your reimbursements from your insurance for this. In places like Queen's Asian Resources and other QCAP, I think, and other folks who have some federal test kits available. But, you know, expiration is coming up. But if you get any kind of a hint of a close contact situation, even if you weren't directly next to the initial patient zero, so to speak, be mindful that patient zero touched some other person that may have touched you. So, you know, definitely duty, you know, 2 or 3 day wait to see the viral load grows fast enough where your vaccines or your natural defenses kick in, or both, then take the test. And if you got any kind of sniffle, it may be allergies, but since we now have test kits, you don't have to guess if you have COVID anymore. You have the ability to find out, you know, with two tests over the course of 2 to 4 days, if it's just seasonal allergies or not. Because remember last year we were talking about this? Everyone's getting allergies and they got COVID?
Yes. Yeah, we didn't have tests at that point, right?
Yeah. So a different world. And, you know, we have better treatment. It's not like 2020 April, we had no idea what we're doing. So with the Pfizer therapeutics available, you can get it from your doctor. The hospitals know better how to treat COVID overall. And if you're vaccinated, your chances of getting severe illness is greatly reduced. It doesn't mean you cannot get ill, but you know, you won't be on a ventilator, I hope, unless you're in a very small class of folks that have a very compromised immune system like my mother. And you know, I continue to encourage that in the booster shots available, but also please be mindful that the big pharma companies are trying to figure out how to build an Omicron targeted vaccine for the fall, and hopefully get FDA approval for that, because we now hear of Omicron BA4 and BA5, which are both more transmissible than BA2. That being said, it is not the dominant strain. There's no guarantee it'll be a dominant strain. So right now, working on Omicron BA2, I do not know why I do not give these things new names, but you know, I don't decide this.
And despite all of that, the House somehow managed to pass next year's state budget.
Yes, the budget is out. It is a balanced budget. Again, there is no tax increases in this, but at the same time, we do not do tax decreases as well. The Speaker has indicated he is not close to looking at tax reform or tax adjustment or tax relief or tax whatever you guys like to call it at home. I just look at it as tax policy as a generic way of looking at it. Some point this year, I think it's no surprise that FY22 revenues has been very strong. We're able to use a lot of that money to cover the COVID cost gaps that occurred by the state, especially in the healthcare area, a lot of it in the healthcare area. But we have an opportunity for perhaps some more discretionary spending and other gap filling through down the road. For those who don't know, we don't actually close our books until October when the comptroller announces the final collection numbers, because you can postpone your taxes to October. So folks who did not make April 19th, you have the ability to, back then you had the ability to delay paying your taxes, but April numbers on actual collection has been remarkably strong.
Yeah, I think it's just out today, actually, something like a $2 billion surplus, something like that.
Yeah, I've not seen this like anything like this since I worked for Michael Morrissey back in 1999 to 2001.
Wow, yeah. I know the Senate president's talking about a tax cut package, but you say the House is not going down that road?
I know, we're looking at one.
Oh.
We just haven't decided what we're going to look at yet. I mean, the governor gave us a proposal, but as a reminder, what the governor files and what we do are two different worlds.
Right. Yeah, he's proposing, I think, like $700 million and cut, something of that nature.
Yeah, we got to look at these numbers more closely, because it's not always $700 million, because it does vary from year to year. Okay. So, and we all know that revenues aren't consistent, as I've done this so many years now. I've been around for the 08 crash. You know, I've been around for the 03 crash. Mm. You know, I came into government during the saving and loan scandal debacle. And then, of course, we experienced the COVID crash. So, just letting you all know, tax relief, the tax cuts or credits or deductions or whatever, you know, does affect future revenue generation. People have this nomer that the surplus is going to cover it. Yeah, for now. Right. But it's no different saying you got, I gave you a $1,000 bonus at work. And by the way, I'm going to cut your pay by 10% because I gave you a $1,000 bonus.
Yeah,
you put it in that perspective, folks, it makes more sense what our problem is. So we got to do a projection out. While we cannot predict if the economy is going to continue to be stronger or weaker down the road, and even a strong economy does not mean everybody pays the taxes. I remind folks, we didn't take the PPP. PPP was not taxed in Massachusetts. We deducted a large chunk of people's unemployment benefits. We're not taxed as well. Mm-hmm. The governor has filed for a, forgiveness for people who got unemployment taxes they shouldn't have, which, by the way, we didn't tax a large portion of those unemployment taxes either.
Right.
So to say that the legislature has not, you know, done any tax relief is a myth. We have addressed a lot of the pandemic benefits that people received. And those stimulus checks you all got is not taxable by the Commonwealth either.
Right.
The federal government made it not, it's done taxable. It is literally free money, something you never see in real life, like real free money from those federal stimulus checks. So, you know, it doesn't count all the money we poured into small business grant programs. You know, doesn't consider the fact that we've had to use Medicare money to try to keep the hospital system afloat because there was no optional patient care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had to come up with a system with the federal government on paying hospitals for each COVID patient. And the insurance companies covering a lot of it. But, I mean, at some point, the insurance companies are going to stop.
Right.
And, you know, the feds are going to have to make a decision on whether or not, you know, they're going to continue this because they got some hard decisions coming up, especially regarding insurance and COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we have better therapeutics. We have vaccination. People hopefully smarter about how to interact with people and willing to do the take-home tests. There's no excuse not to, since the Fed, you know, get the free Fed ones as well as the insurance reimbursement ones. And hopefully, you know, we all have 2 years of understanding how to better take care of ourselves and our loved ones, you know, during a COVID period.
We talk about some Quincy specific things that are in the budget, Jackie.
Sure. I mean, the big one of obviously is local aid. Those, you hear about it a lot in the news, right? So that's a combination of Chapter 7 education money. We did the huge education reform package during the midst of COVID last session, and which gave Quincy a large amount, almost 20%-ish, I think 20%-ish increase from normal. So it's about, I think, 35, may have to look it up, plus another 21-ish million dollars in local aid, which is a combination of your tax dollars as well as lottery money based on the lottery projections.
Okay.
So it's about 55-ish. Excuse me, 55-ish or so million dollars. The city budget's what, about 390 million?
372 is the latest proposal.
Yeah. So we're responsible for like 55 plus million of that just from local aid. Doesn't include things like school breakfast money. The legislature in our budget approved the continuation of the federal government's free lunch program. Those are who have kids in public school. We've been doing implementing the federal government's lunch program during COVID. Some may remember when we closed schools down, this became a real problem for kids where their sometimes only meal is the breakfast and lunch program at schools, which is really sad to think about, but unfortunately this is true. And the federal government were picking up a lot of those costs, but we've decided in this budget, because we have extra money and our projections believe we can continue to pay for this, you know, we have that breakfast program in place. So that, you know, that's a statewide issue, but definitely affects, you know, people that live in our city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some other locally stuff. I mean, we got some overtime money again for Caesar Patrols and Walson Beach and Fredericksburg Parkway. This is a project that Bruce Ayers has been working on for many years. He's also got a little bit more money again for the ferry project out in Squatter Point Park. You know, we worked on some money for Germantown Neighborhood Germantown Neighborhood Center. As you may know, their food pantry and their services in Germantown is really a core human service component. You know, Queer Jason Resources has been doing a lot, especially these last 2 years. It's been particularly tough for the Asian community, especially with Asian hate. And they continue to do a lot of good work. I got some money for a QCAP as well, the delegation, you know, again, you know, support each other's amendments to help them out in the food pantry. There's $50,000 also for hazmat for Quincy Fire. It's something that, you know, we help them on training and equipment on things like that. You know, there's some money for, you know, the Fall River Clubhouse Playground area down in the Speakers District. Another, again, another important community resource inside a neighborhood. So that's fairly important to everybody, obviously, particularly programs that are, you know, literally walk across the street, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Germantown Neighborhood Center is another one. You literally walk across the street for services. So, you know, beyond just, you know, big picture stuff like school breakfasts and Look of Aid and, you know, things like counseling aging and library grants and all this other stuff, you know, we pulled in probably somewhere between $700,000 to $1 million worth of smaller projects, sometime in combination of others. For example, the Beaches program, Beaches Commission program is about $300,000. City gets a piece of that, but indirectly, because the commission works for all the state beaches. You know, we increase money for DCR. I know we have a love-hate relationship with DCR, but again, not a direct target towards Quincy, but again, it's a bigger picture regional issue that benefits the city.
Okay. And so now what's the process going forward with the budget now, Jackie?
Well, the Senate has the budget now. Okay. And the projection of dates, because there's only a projection, is that perhaps the Senate budget will be available the 11th or the 18th. I can't tell you for sure because I don't know. Okay. But generally, you know, Memorial Day is very late this year, as you all know, the 27th of May. And historically, the Senate president likes to hold Memorial Day weekend hostage against the senators. So if that's the plan, they'll release it on the 18th with amendments due by the Friday. If that's not the plan, they can go earlier, have it released on the 11th.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, not run up against Memorial Day. But again, the Senate president sets the calendar. Sorry, as you can hear, the frog is in the throat and the cough isn't quite gone.
Yes, it's a sign of the times, unfortunately. So we appreciate you spending some time with us here today for sure. Sports betting, Jackie.
Yeah, this should be fun.
Yeah.
oh, God. Okay, I talked to my friends in the Senate. I won't name names because, you know, you don't like to name our sources. But everyone's upset. Okay, I don't know what John Keane is going to tell you because John may tell you a different story. So the pro sports betting people are upset because this does nothing what they really wanted to do regarding a regulatory model. The anti-sports betting people are upset because it made it to the floor. The Senate, for whatever reason, yet again, and I say yet again because I've done this before, decided not to take a roll call vote. So you do not have a record of how anyone voted on the bill that passed the Senate, did by a voice vote. So no one objected to the voice vote, and the Senator Lesser withdrew the roll call, as you've probably seen on State House News Service that gave it a pay by pay. At least, you know, in the House, we actually voted by roll call. I'm on record. Like it or not, folks, I did vote. Mm-hmm. I remind folks, I mean, it's binary. You're going to vote or you're not going to vote unless you have a conflict of interest that forces you to not vote because you have a conflict of interest and it violates law because you can't vote on something of a conflict of interest. So, yeah, like it or hate it, I voted yes. The Senate, on the other hand, has no roll call, so you actually do not know exactly how each senator voted. But that's kind of the short of it. That's the stories I'm getting from my sources. There's a lot of mad people over there right now and how this played out. And then, you know, now it's going to go to conference committee. And the House would, since it came out of the House will reject the Senate bill. And then they'll appoint a committee of conference. And I'm not sure who the committee of conference is going to be yet.
Okay. All right. Does the House version contain collegiate sports? It does.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can already guess what you're asking. Yes.
Collegiate. That seems to be a major point of contention, that and using credit cards to bet.
Collegiate is a yes. Giving people ability to create a credit system on your account. So you can, you know, it's like account wagering, people money into an account. Mm-hmm. And then you can draw money from your account. It isn't exactly quite like direct from your credit card because you really don't want to do that. You want to create basically a bank account-ish type system where you can use that money you deposited. And they also could use your winnings you deposited. So if you win, let's say you double your money from like 100 to 200, you can withdraw all $200 if you want and have a zero account Or you can leave the 200 in there and then you put another wager down and maybe you lose $100, but you said, you know, then you can draw the remainder out as well. Right. And of course, there's a abandoned and property component if you, God forbid, die and you have an account. So you could have a, like an account wager account of like thousands and thousands of dollars. And there's a whole other question about abandoned property, but that's not your problem, folks. If you're alive and you get sports betting, you know, you're not worried about that stuff, right?
That's right.
These are things I think about. Yeah, so always make sure your family has access to your online accounts in the event of your death. That's
a great piece of advice, actually. Yeah, because it's a major component of people's lives these days, for sure.
Oh yeah, joint checking accounts are very important for family members and joint bank accounts, because one of the things I hear, I know we're diverging, but one of the things I do hear in my legal side, people ask me for advice, involves people who are trying to pay for things as your spouse or partner's death. And you can't access money because you only had it in one name.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's a major issue for sure. And you have to go through the whole probate system in order to get that changed. That takes a long time and bills add up and it's just a nightmare. Yeah.
Again, I very much encourage joint accounts, particularly if you're concerned regarding end of life components or even moving into retirement age for that contingency.
Yeah.
Like I did have, like, for example, I have a joint passbook savings account with my mom. I put substantial money in the passbook account, so something happens. But I do have a checking account, but it's not that much in the checking account. It's intentional.
Yep, I understand. We're into the month of May now, Jackie, which is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's a cause that's near and dear to your heart. Do you know of any events taking place locally or across the state?
Yeah, COVID has really pushed out a lot of events overall. Because as you guys are aware, it takes a lot of planning. It takes months of planning to run big events, even if it's a big dinner. It's not something you can whip together. As you saw, Lunar New Year, Queen's Age Resources had to pivot to virtual. Omicron numbers were out of control in early February, and the risk level was too high for folks to be in the same contained space at a gym. So this Friday, today's Thursday, right? So yeah, tomorrow, you know, the Asian American Pacific Islander Commission is having their dinner up in Lowell, as well as the Middlesex Community College is doing presentations up there in the afternoon for legislators, as well as the public. So the Asian Caucus members will come up to Lowell, those are able to. Tuesday night, the Red Sox celebrate AIP month. Queen's Age Resources, as well as members of Asian Caucus and others, were able to attend the Red Sox game to celebrate AIP month. They had dragon dances and other cultural events outside on Jersey Street and, you know, Lansdowne or Ted Williams Way. I get all the names mixed up, as you can tell.
I know.
But I got a fun video of Wally, the Green Monster, dancing with the Lion Dancers. So that's kind of fun. So I'm very thankful to the Red Sox for selling AIP month with us, recognizing some local organizations as well as, you know, bringing a new culture to Fenway. And I hope they will continue this going forward, but I'm very thankful they did. So this year was actually a little different last year because, again, they were able to bring some more cultural performances, you know, out in the public for people to learn about. Queen's Age Resources Corey's dinner is into June. Again, you know, everything got totally discombobulated, so to speak, regarding scheduling. So some AIP month stuff may leak into early June as people kind of get the calendar. Like Dragon Ball Festival is on in June. It's back after a 2-year hiatus. So, you know, things are coming to life, but the calendar is, you know, a little bit off for everybody. So it's all right. It's obviously not the only organizations, not the only groups that are having this calendar problem.
Yeah, it's unfortunately a sign of the times. Kind of respond as the situation, you know, dictates. Is no control over it.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be difficult to figure out how to pivot as we kind of move along. So, yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry, go ahead. What would you say?
No, it's the life we live in. I mean, we got to be ready to shift as we go. And again, folks, if you're in a big event and you're running an event, contact tracing.
We are in election season too, Jackie. I know that nomination papers, I'm sure yours are all set.
Yeah, my nomination papers are sitting in the Quincy Clerk's office. I have completed my ethics forms. So my ethic compliance is done. I just need to bring them up to the Secretary of State's office from the Clerk's office and my ethics certification. You do have to the end of the month, but obviously I'm not waiting to the end of the month. It'll be on the ballot very soon. So, statewide candidates actually have 1 more week to collect signatures. So this signature is due next Tuesday. Today's the 5th, so Thursday, so next Tuesday they're in. I don't know if people noticed, but this has been actually a very tough year for signature gathering. No real big public events.
Right.
Lots of Democratic caucuses were virtual this year, not in person. Generally, that's for Democrats, it's a great way to get signatures. And you know, honestly, trying to, you know, meet people in late February, early March, people were leery about getting close to other people. I mean, I'll tell you right up front, it's been hard. So even though I'm actually a relatively low threshold at 150, those who are trying to get 10,000 and, you know, extra, because you just don't get 10,000, you have to get, you know, 12,000 or 14,000 just to make sure that there's no problems with your papers. Mm-hmm. those are having a tough time.
Right.
So, we're actually kind of eagerly waiting to see if any statewide candidates can't get the signatures in.
Okay.
At our level, I fully expect it as the next level up, particularly the 10,000 plus level under these circumstances. You know, let's see how that plays.
Have the ballot questions been established now?
Well, May 4th has come and gone. The legislature has taken no action on the ballot questions. Okay. The ballot question proponents now have to August to collect their signatures, which since these are people are basically paying companies to get signatures, I fully expect they'll get their signatures. And, unless the legislature or some deals cut before they can withdraw the questions in August, you'll be seeing ballot questions this November.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for refresher for folks, let's see if I can remember this. For refresher for folks, we have the retail alcohol license expansion. We have the so-called Uber independent contractor rights. So basically, filed by the ride-sharing companies, a ballot question regarding so-called independent contractors' rights. And those two make the news. What's the third one again? Oh, Delta Dental, the anti-Delta Dental one, which is so complex, I need to get a guest host to tell you how it works.
Oh, okay. We'll arrange that then for sure, yeah.
We have to arrange someone else to talk about dental insurance and giving a dentist a better reimbursement rate for, against insurance companies.
Maybe Dr. Abe can help us with that.
Yeah, I better call Dr. Abe on that one. Since he's a small business owner, he understands all these different insurance components. And for those who don't know, I mean, a lot of the medical costs are not directly into the pocket of the dentist. A lot of medical costs is the materials.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And like x-rays are extremely expensive, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of insurance reimbursement is not directly in the pocket of your doctor. You need Dr. Abe to break it down for you, what the reimbursement rate versus the material cost. So if you get, for example, you get dentures done or something like that, you know, they have to go get it ordered from the lab. There's a cost that's covered by insurance. And then, you know, if it's $100 and your dental, you know, is like $80 plus, you know, whatever chemicals and delivery and stuff, you can end up with like $5 for the dentist. I mean, you need a professional to come in and talk about that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's for another time for sure. We'll catch up with him. It's been a while actually. So it's a good time to check in with him anyway.
Exactly. The alcohol stuff, I know code. So retail alcohol, we can spend like an hour on that. The independent contractor thing is pretty complicated. That's a long conversation.
Yeah, and that's there's a lot of money surrounding that too. That's a very public one. Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna see a whole oodles of money on ballot questions again this year. For those who are interested about money and politics, ballot questions in particular are a high stakes game. So, for example, retail alcohol has the package stores, you know, all your favorite folks regarding buying alcohol at your local packy, versus other sides, Amazon's going to put money to fight this.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So your package store versus Amazon. So you can imagine the volume of money this ballot question is going to cost. Yeah. So, again, you know, if you're interested in politics and money, definitely follow just the ballot questions. This may be another record-breaking year on three questions, particularly two of them involving giant corporations, the influence on voters regarding a public policy at the ballot.
Yeah, well, we saw that with the right to repair bill, right? There was huge money spent on both sides of that issue.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch the commercials, you get this idea, it's some this little shop, you know, in the corner, there's a family-run business, but they don't talk about exactly how much money's behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I do get frustrated. It's not like I haven't expressed that before. But I mean, you know, I'm obviously in a realm where people like, you know, politics and money is like a corrupting force and all that stuff. I mean, you guys all know that conversation. But when it comes to ballot questions, sure, you know, that little company on the TV commercials being backed by, you know, a $500 million third part manufacturing company. But, you know, you don't need to know that guy that, you know, corner shop's really being, that commercial is being really paid for by this giant third party parts manufacturer. Just not being, you know, cynical or critical, but.
No, not you, Taggy. We would never think you'd be cynical or sarcastic at all.
Just pointing it out, folks. I mean, I do pay some attention, particularly inside the realms of public policies that I have to oversee. And that stuff isn't lost on me.
Right. Well, I know you're not up to snuff, so we're not going to drag this on today. I wanted to give you a little break so you can go get some rest. But we should let folks know how to get a hold of you.
Sure. My phone number changed.
I know.
722-2370, 722-2370, area code 617. My email has not changed, so okay. Tacky.chan@hemahouse.gov. And, of course, State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook. You know, we make sure you post stuff. and tackychan.org, again, our information resource page. So, I mean, plenty of ways to get a hold of us. Again, if you call the office and no one picks up, smash a button. Someone will get the message and we'll get it to the right person and we'll do our best to get back to you. I do read your public policy emails. I'm going to remind folks again, I do. But I also get emails complaining about things like Comcast billing problems that I've been dealing with this week with a constituent. What else? Another one. We have some traffic concern, constituent issues we're trying to resolve. I have a housing issue that I don't even have an answer for. I'm not sure what can be done. I mean, obviously, you guys all know that I do look at your public policy stuff. But as you can tell, I mean, we're also tackling this week some stuff that I'm not sure how to resolve. Been doing constituent services a long time. Doesn't mean I know how to solve every single one.
Well, let's see. We'll keep you on your toes, Tacky, though. You can figure out the solutions to new problems.
It's always, every time I think I've seen it all, there's always a new one.
Well, that way you're never bored. I do hope you're feeling better, and I hope you get some rest, and we'll try and catch up with you next week.